as I was sitting there tonight, I just felt like God began to speak to me. And he said, but when are you going to let me in behind your veils? I've let you in where I'm at. I've let you see my glory, all my goodness. That's what Moses prayed, show me your goodness. And he said, okay, I'll show you my glory. That's God's glory. God's glory is His goodness. He said, you can't handle it, but I'll let you see it when I'm passing by. But you know what? We've erected all these veils in our life. We got all these areas sealed off from God. Sin or unforgiveness or pride or bitterness. Y'all hate it when I come, don't you? Because I'm just going to tell the truth. You don't know what you're missing. All that junk that you keep in your life, you're missing the intimacy with God. Because there's only so close you can get to Him and not deal with all the stuff you got in behind the veil. You don't know God. You can't know Him intimately unless you deal with all your stuff. Listen, you can't have a good marriage if you keep secrets from your husband and your wife. Amen. You can't have two checking accounts. You can't have two separate lives. You can't live your lives to your children. You got to know each other intimately. And you can't keep secrets. Don't you know it's the same way with God? Let me tell you a little secret. He knows it anyway. Well, I'll just build up this wall of defense and all this veil and I'll keep God out. Bless your little heart. He's going to get in. And He can either do it your way or you can do it God's way. Amen? Amen. I don't want to deal with my stuff. I tell you what. I'm almost to a fault. When are we going to start praying radical prayers? And just say, God, just wrap me in your arms. Just come into my life. Here I am. I surrender it all to you. We're afraid. See, we don't know God as Father. We're afraid to allow God into our lives. We're afraid to deal with the stuff in our life because we're afraid of how it's going to feel. We're afraid of what the end result's going to be. We're afraid we can't handle it. Don't you know? Don't you know? Your Father loves you. He said, I won't put any more on you than you can bear. Trust me, there's going to be times that you're going to have more on you than you think that you can handle. And we're missing so much, guys. Oh, man, we're missing so much by not allowing God into the hidden parts of our lives. Amen? I want to encourage you tonight. Let God, listen, peek back the veil. Let Him in. Let Him in. Come honest. The Bible says come boldly before. We can go boldly into His throne room. Amen. And I love the song they sung earlier. It said, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know, the Bible says in the last days, men's heart will fail them because of fear. Let me tell you something. If I didn't have the Lord 2 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. The enemy tried to drive me insane, which is a short drive for me, by the way. I could actually walk there. But I'm serious. Y'all laughing, but it's true. I live within walking distance of insane. I mean, I can see it from my... But, I mean, I went through it, guys. I'm telling you. But through all of that, I knew I had a God that loved. And if He's got you to the point where you're questioning that, you're already defeated. Because you'll think, well, I'm going through this because of this or that, or God, I did something wrong, or God's punishing me, or I don't know what's going on. And the devil's got you double-minded. He's got you in that point in your life, and He's got you right where He wants you. And as long as you're questioning that, you're never going to have victory in your life. And the devil knows it. But he can't do anything with somebody that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. I knew if I stood on God's word that His word don't lie. Amen. Whew. just not knowing what to do. I could fake it, but I don't really want to. Can we just maybe just stand just for a minute? Just, I don't have to preach. You know, I don't care how far I drove or anything. I just, you know, I don't have to do anything. I'm not here for that. I don't have any agenda but His. Or let's just worship just for a minute. Just, Father, we just thank You. Thank You for loving me. And before You even saved me, You knew I was going to blow it. You knew I'd fall down 1,000 times, but You knew I'd get up 1,001. God, You knew me afar off. God, and You set Your love on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, You knew everything that we'd go through. And God, I just pray You just break out on us tonight. Just come and speak to our hearts, God. We just open up our lives to You. You know it all anyway. We're not fooling anybody. We just take off the mask and all the stuff that we do, and we just want to be real with You tonight, because You sure are real with us. Hallelujah. We worship You. God, I pray bring freedom tonight to those that are here. God, that's suffering emotionally, physically, Lord, mentally tonight, right now. God, the Bible says that You were bruised for us, God. A bruise is when you're bleeding on the inside. And God, we pray tonight for emotional healing. Oh, God, we pray, God, that years of emotions, God, would be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, Lord. Rub in Your balm as only You can do. Rub it into the wounds, God, that cut so deep in our hearts, God. Hallelujah. Lord, show us things that we even forgot about. We've built a wall around it, a wall of anger, whatever our defense mechanism is. We build a wall around it. We don't even remember why we're angry. But God, show us tonight. Show me, if You don't show anybody else, God. Show me Your glory. Hallelujah. Do it in Jesus' name. Show us, God. Show us the source of our anxiety and fear in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I shared, I won't go into a lot of detail. I'll let Odie, I don't know, he may not want to share it with you, but I felt like I had a prophetic dream about this church a few nights ago. And what really stood out to me more than anything was the sound that I heard coming from the people here, not from the building. Again, worship is not a place, it's a lifestyle. Amen? Because it started out in here, but we ended up out there somewhere. And the sound was just, and if you've never heard an angel sing, and I don't know how to describe it. It has its own music with it. It has its own, it's a language you've never heard. But there was a sound coming out of here. And I really believe in my heart, and I've told Pastor this, that I believe that God is setting this place up to be a place of deep healing in people's lives. I mean, not just physical healing. A place where people can get emotionally, mentally, spiritually healed in their lives. Because what has to happen for us to, and you can sit down, I don't make you stand all the time when I talk, but what has to happen for that to take place is that we got to create a place where people can be real. Where people can be who they are. That they come in and they're not afraid. They're not afraid to get real. They're not afraid that we're going to gasp when they tell us where they've been. That we're not going to freak out when we find out that they have same-sex attraction. We're not going to freak out when we find out that they're homosexuals or they got a past or they got something like that. Let me tell you something, guys. There's a root to everything. I've learned. If somebody's dealing with a sin or a problem, you've got to ask yourself, when you're talking to that person and you're witness to them, you pray, say, God, show me the root to that problem. And when God shows it to you, you deal with it. Amen? We need a place where people can get delivered, Judy. We need a place where people can get delivered. Not just have good church and jump around and get excited and all that. I don't know about you. I want to be free in Jesus' name. I mean real freedom. Aren't you tired of people coming to church and having a wonderful service and oh how great it was, but yet next week they're all bound up just like they was? How good was church if nobody gets changed in the first place? Really, how good was it? How good was it really when I leave like I came every time? No limit. God can set you free in your living room, folks. Are you listening to me? We got to start going after God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Whatever happens on Wednesday and Sunday should just be a culmination of whatever you're living in your personal life every day. God is wanting to do something here. God's wanting for there to be a sound that comes out of here. A sound that when it reaches people's ears, that they realize, hey, there's a group of people there that I know that I can go and I can get real with. You know what? God just started sending men in my life that's dealing with pornography and all kinds of sin and all those. Let me tell you something. Men deal with stuff. Amen. But the enemy wants to isolate you. There's a lot of shame on men today. Have you ever watched TV and how they make us look like idiots? I watched a beer commercial today that said if you drink light beer, you'll have a slimmer stomach, get more women, and have more children. It literally said that. Have you seen the beer commercial that uses the hymn yet? Have you seen that? The Guinness beer commercial? They play a hymn. What is it? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms? Is that what it was? They're playing a hymn on it. Listen, guys, the devil's after you. You better have another man that you're talking to. That's holding you accountable. That's helping you out. Listen, wives, don't freak out when your man comes to you. Let him be able to talk to you and not lose your mind. Listen, men are gross. Men are gross. Men deal with stuff. Listen, it gets better. Wait for the altar call here in a minute, Aaron. But the men can't talk about what we deal with. And if you've got a wife that you're scared to talk to because she's going to say, what's wrong with you? What do you mean you feel that way, you think that way? Listen, we got to get real. I've got a wife, I can literally tell anything. I can say, honey, I'm dealing with lust. I need you to pray for me. Most of y'all would freak out and claw your man's eyes out over that. Let me tell you something. Every man in here deals with lust. That's all right. Look at me like I've got three heads. I don't care. If you're not, you're lying. Right? It's something that men have to keep under control, isn't it? Because men are visually stimulated. Y'all hate it when I come here and talk like this, don't you? You want to be a place where people can get free? Or you want people to come here and be bound up by pornography and go out there and lose their marriage and their children and end up blowing their brains out? What do you want? What do you want? Do you want a man to be able to come and look at you in the eyes and say, I'm dealing with homosexuality and I don't know how to get free. Can you help me? Or are you going to say, what's wrong with you, you freak? Now that's truth, guys. What kind of, are we going to be the church or not? These people are out there, and you know what? They're also sitting in our churches. But they're afraid to be real. I'm not condoning sin. It's not all right to sin, but it's not all right to hide either, and it's not all right to beat people up when they got problems. Amen. I had a message here, but I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going off something else. I'm just following the Lord. Is that okay? God wants to create a place where that we can get free and be delivered. Let me get into a little bit of my text. Isaiah 66, verse 9. I'm not going to be long, I promise. That's not me lying. I'm really going to try not to be long. This is actually the last part of a message I preached. And I'm going to ask how many people remember it, because I don't want you to lie to me. But I preached on giving birth to a vision here back a few months ago. And I hope some of you at least remember some of it. Because if you don't, it's going to hurt my feelings. Hopefully you remember some of it, amen? But I'm actually going to read from the God's Word translation. I've got my New Living here. I'm just all over the map here. He said, "Do I bring a mother to the moment of birth and not let her deliver?" asked the Lord. "Do I cause a mother to deliver, then make her unable to have children?" ask your God. You know, God doesn't leave anything unfinished. What God has begun here and in your life, He will complete it with or without us. Because it has very little to do with us. And you know, a lot of times people say, "Lord, I don't know what in the world we would do without so-and-so." God would raise up somebody else. You're not indispensable. None of us are. Hey, man, there's all kinds of 5'9", 200-pound guys everywhere. I mean, I just happen to be one of them, right? I wish I was a 5'900 and, you know, something guy, but I'm not. I'm twice the man I was when I got saved, at least. But God is going to do and accomplish what He wants with or without us. I truly believe that. Now, do we have to obey? Do we have to? Yeah, of course we do. But guys, we've got to remember that God finishes everything that He starts. And what I believe, when I was here, I preached on all the trimesters of childbirth and about giving birth, about, you know, accepting the pregnancy, accepting the baby, and then on nest building, which is where I believe you guys are at. You got to prepare a place for God to do what He wants Him to do. Not a physical place, but a place in your hearts, in your lives, in your family, in your work, at your home, in your community. Listen, what I seen in the Spirit a few nights ago wasn't in the church. It was in this community. Listen, why would we limit God to filling up a building? If you built a church that could house 10,000 people, there's still over what? 20 more thousand that live just in this county. What about them? Do they need to be saved? Well, do we have to build Rupp Arena to have God do a move in it? No, of course not. There is enough of God out there that we, listen, guys, we can't keep God in a building. There's no way that we can do that. But let me tell you where I believe that we're at right now. Once you go through the trimesters, once you go through the pregnancy and you come full term, you got to go into labor. You've got to get to the point where you can actually deliver what God has put into your heart. Listen, do you have a vision? Is there something that God's speaking into your heart? I hope there is. Everybody in here needs a vision. You need a vision in your family. Our family sat down a few years ago and we wrote out a vision and a mission statement. We have a vision and a mission in our family. Love God and love people. That sounds real simple, but Ashley was only like 5 years old when we came up with that. But ain't that good, though? If you love God and you love people, how much better can you get than that? That's what Jesus said. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That on all that hinges the law and the prophets. That's all you need to know right there. But if we want to, we've got to come to a place where that we can deliver what God has put in our hearts. Man, I pray each and every one of you start asking God, "Father, what is it that you want to do in my life?" You were not created to be a church attender. You weren't created to just stand and support the worship team when they sing. You weren't created to sit in the pew and just say amen when the pastor preaches. You were created to change the world that you live in. And the problem with the American church today is it's ran so much like a business. The pastor's the CEO. The worship team's the board of some sort. And all of us, we're just kind of really non-voting members that just show up to the meetings, but they're the ones that really do everything important. Guys, that's got to stop. Amen? Listen, you need a vision in your life. If you don't have one, start praying right now with your family, with your children. God, what is it that you created me to do? Why do I inhale and exhale? Why does my heart beat? Why am I not dead? Why am I living here? Why did you create me? Why is my DNA different than the other 6.6 billion people in this world? God, why did you create me and put me in Bell County? Why am I alive? Don't you wonder those questions? Don't you ever wonder what you're doing here? It's not. Hopefully it's not just to work a job and sit in a recliner and watch TV. I love doing that. I'm awesome at it. Hopefully, you've got a vision for your life. Well, what happens when we get a vision? What do I do with it? What do I do with it? What if God tells me to do something and I've never done it before? Well, hopefully He will. If it's a God vision, trust me, you can't do it without Him. God's going to stretch you to do things that you don't have a clue how to do. Amen? God asked me to... There's a building right next to our church, right down the road. It used to be a hardware building. And God said, I want you to renovate that building, put a coffee shop in it, and a place for kids to hang out. And upstairs, I want you to create a place to do worship. I'm not very good with saws and stuff. I mean, I'm not. I'm dangerous, seriously. And I got one old man in church, he was missing like these three fingers. And I got nervous every time he used the saw. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to lose his other two fingers. And then I had this other guy with me that was helping me. And I'm just a laborer, you know. I just had the vision. I don't know what I'm doing. But God surrounds you with people that can help you get where God wants you to go. Amen. But then they all left me and got a job driving on the road and stuff. And I went months and I couldn't do anything with it. I tried. And I prayed and I said, God, if you want this building done, you're going to have to send somebody to help me. Do you know we've had people at that building for 3 weeks from 8 different states? I'm not kidding you. We had work teams come, just walked in the building, and everything I need done, they just went and did it. This guy went and laid rock, and this guy went and put me another bathroom in, and this guy finished my counter, and this guy done the upstairs, and we got on the upstairs and finished that. And All along, I'm riding around to the lumber store, and I'm getting stuff that I don't know how I'm going to pay for yet. I'm just, we need some of those. And I leave and I'm thinking, God, you're going to have to, somebody going to have to come up with some way to pay this. I don't know what, I'm just thinking at the end of the week, I'm just going to go there and offer myself as some kind of hired hand or a slave or one of my children. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. But we're getting ready to finish the upstairs where we're going to worship. And the guy says, I need 100 two-by-fours, and I need 50 sheets of plywood, and I need blah, 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 blah. And in my head, I'm bringing all this up. And it comes to about $1,000. And I said, okay. And this guy stepped up, and he said, I'll pay for that. I said, really? Yeah, I'll pay for that. And I go to pay for everything that I've got at on faith at the plumbing store. And this guy says, I'll pay for that. And I'll buy you a sink, too, while I'm at it. Let me tell you something, guys. Listen, God will give you everything you need to do everything He asks you to do. Amen? God will send people from 8 different states if He had to. Even northerners. Tell me, that ain't God. When's the last time you seen anybody retire and move up north? Don't happen, does it? God sent me Hoosiers and Buckeyes and Michigan people and Georgia people and Tennessee people. Now tell me that ain't God. Volunteers come help a wildcat. Ain't that good? Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. God sent these people, and they were masters at what they did. They saved me a year's worth of work and possibly arms and limbs. Right? So get a vision. If you have a vision, there comes a time that you got to push. Let me talk about that just for a minute, okay? Labor begins with subtle signs. And you ladies remember that, don't you? 10 to 14 days before labor begins, you experience what's called lightning. This lightning occurs. That gives you relief from the pressure that's been on your diaphragm. It's been causing you shortness of breath. But all of a sudden, this is actual nursing literature. It says it lightens your load. You breathe better. Are you weary and well doing? Are you tired of being pregnant with a vision and you want to deliver what God wants you to have? Guys, when you, carrying a vision around can be a burden. It can be hard on your life. Listen, God blessed me to get the building done, but I've had the worst month I ever had at work. Amen. God will give you everything that you need. But the Bible says that you can cast your cares upon the Lord. He'll lighten your load. His yoke is easy and His burdens are light. Listen, if you're here and you've had a vision and you've been burdened down with something that you feel like God wants you to do, listen, don't be weary and well-doing. There's coming a time that God will lighten your load. God won't put more on you than you can bear. God won't give you more than you can handle. God will surround you with people that will help you give birth to what God's put into your life. Listen, I look around this church tonight and I see people that are capable of changing the world. I don't see church members or tithers or just people. I'm looking at people that God wants to speak something into your life that would change the world. All God is looking for is somebody to do this. Can you do that? Try it with me. Practice. If you're stiff-necked, it's kind of hard. Can you do that? Come on, do that. Can you say yes? Who will go for me? Who will I send? Isaiah said, here I am. Just send me. You notice God didn't say where? Here I am, send me. Where are we going? You ever done that? God, here I am. By the way, where are we going? Yeah, I'll do that, God. Where am I going to get the money? Yeah, God, I'll leave my job, but what am I going to do? I'll move from my hometown, but what... Then what? Just follow me. See, the problem is we want to know everything before we leave, right? We want to sit down. We want a 5-point plan. We want it in a book. We want a business plan. We want God to lay it out, everything that's going to happen to us. And all God's wanting us to do is just say yes and take a step. And every day you get up, you got to say yes again. Every day you get up, you got to say yes, and you got to take another step. And God is going to show you every step that you take. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. The Word is a lamp unto your feet. He didn't say it's a spotlight to the He said it's a lamp to your feet. All God's going to show you is the next step. If you're one of these has to know everything, you might as well just stay where you are, because you can't follow God where He's going, because it takes faith to please Him. If you can see it, what are you hoping for? Guys, you're missing out on it. If you're not living by faith, you're living a boring life. You are. So in the last week or days before labor begins, you start noticing extremely strong, what they call Braxton Hicks contractions, which may be interpreted as true labor. And see, what most people have thought of as revival has been false labor. Jesus said we would do greater things, not have greater services. He said we would do greater things than He did. He didn't say we would just have good church. You know, in America is the only place we do this. We meet like this. Why? Because we can. We don't, but that's going to change. Then what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you can't come in and hear the worship team? What are you going to do when you can't come in and hear Pastor Odie? Because he's trying to sneak to get where you are, but he didn't make it because he had to hide out. What are you going to do when you have to be this priest of your home? Come on, guys. You need to be doing it now. Let me tell you something. We don't need more good church. This labor often disappears with increased activity. These breaks. That's why they tell you to go home and walk, which is the equivalent of more church. If you feeling like you're going into labor to give birth to what God wants you to do, and you just do more stuff and it burden leads you, that wouldn't God in the first place. We try to stretch everything out in some kind of 6-week revival, and then kill everybody. Listen, I love you all. I can't come to church every night for 6 weeks. I love you. I got stuff to do. I got a job. Y'all look at me like I'm stupid. Can we just be real? We in here so much, they out there looking for us. Where they at? I need to get saved. Oh, they've been in church over there for 9 weeks, falling on the floor, eating up Jack. Right? Because we know how to do two things. Have church and eat. In that order. Right? The world looking for us, and where we been at? You know, Brownsville was in church for 5 years. You know how crazy that is? They told me that they spent $50,000 a month on toilet paper. All those people that came and prayed, you know what they said? We don't have a clue where they are. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they went. These contractions do not increase in duration or frequency or intensity. It's just more good church. I know y'all probably think I'm anti-church. I'm not anti-church. I'm anti-religion. I am pro-God, though. I'm all about having a relationship with Jesus. Let me talk about having some successful labor. This is literally out of nursing literature. The three components of successful labor. The first thing is the passage. That's the route the baby has to travel. The passage. So let me ask you something. Have you prepared the way for the vision to be birthed through you? What if God wants to use you? What if God wants to use you to be the one to turn this county around? Well, why not? Have you prepared the way for that to happen? Are you open? Are you even open to that? Or does that just give you all kinds of anxiety? The second thing is the passenger. The process of the presentation of the baby or the vision in this instance through the pelvic ring. Whether a baby can pass depends on both its structure and its alignment with the pelvis. So are you ready for what God wants to do? Have you got the pieces in all the right places? Are you aligned with God's will? Are you lined up? Can it come through you? If God wants to move through you, can He? Can God put His hand on you and use you? I hope so. The third thing is the power. The passage, the pastor, and the power. Isn't that amazing? It's right out of nursing literature. The power for delivery is supplied by the fundus of the uterus and implemented by uterine contractions. But in the spirit, the power is supplied by God and implemented by the Holy Ghost. You see, in order to give birth, you got to experience pain. But there's also power for you to deliver what God has put inside of you. To as many as receive Him, He gives power to be the sons and the daughters of God. Listen, God is not going to ask you to do anything He will not give you the power to do. He's give you the power just to live for Him. You've got the power to live for God. Every pastor and preacher has got their horror stories about their labor, their experience. Just like every mother that wants to relive her bad labor. You ever notice when my wife first got pregnant with Ashton? I'm not kidding you. Oh, y'all's been pregnant, know this. You run into people at Walmart and you tell them you're pregnant. Oh, God, honey. I was in labor for 76 straight hours. I'm telling you, It was the worst thing. I died four times. They do you that way. Tell you every... Oh, Lord, they finally just got a bandsaw and just cut it out. It was blood every... Oh, God, it was awful. Is that not the truth? I finally got... I see them coming. We run, baby, run. Just run! Here they come. Like zombies. Come here, let me tell you my horror story. Chasing you down. Why are people like it? I was telling somebody, my son had his tonsils took out. They started telling me, everybody they knew it died, it had her tonsils. Lord, I knew a little boy. Did you just hear what I told you? My son is having... And you telling me about everybody you know that ever died with their... What is wrong with people? Lord, he come home, eat a tater chip, he bled to death. Bled to death. Poor thing. You want a cup of coffee? No. I want you to take your medicine. Is what I want you to do. Everybody, have you ever noticed all these preachers? You know what? I'm tired of talking to pastors that act like they absolutely hate pastoring. Oh, God, it's so hard. You just don't know how people treat me. They're so mean. So-and-so, blah, blah, blah. They won't give. They want this. They want that. You know what that tells me? First thing that tells me is that they didn't birth what God wanted. And second, they didn't think it was worth it. If your focus is on the labor instead of the baby, you've lost focus. Because as soon as they put that baby in your arms, you forget about all that pain, don't you? Don't you? As soon as they handed me Ashen, well, I didn't have a lot of pain. Let me start over. I forgot about all that pain I had. Now, I did have a lot of pain with Seth. I broke my tailbone right before he was born. I had to carry this round cushion with me everywhere I went. I was in awful pain. Tracy was too. Not near as bad as I was, but close. But why do y'all ask me to come preach? I'm serious. But you forget about all the pain, don't you? You know, the first few years of having a child, it's awful, ain't it? You don't sleep. Remember the first night your baby slept like 6 hours? You woke up, oh, God, they're dead. Remember that? There is no fear like that ever, is there? You freak out. There's a lot of work involved, guys, in what God wants you to do. But you know, if your focus is on how hard the labor is, guys, it should be a labor of love. If you're hating what you're doing, quit doing what you're doing. More likely, God hadn't called you to do that in the first place. Whatever you're passionate about, that's what God created you to do. If you love something, if you got a passion for something, God said His gifts, your gifts will make room for you. Then more likely, that's what God has hardwired you to do. If you love kids, then God has hardwired you to work with kids. Amen? Listen, if you can't sing, God didn't call you to sing. And I love you. But, amen? Why isn't the Pentecost church everybody got to sing? Why? Why is that? God didn't... It's okay. I can't sing. Seriously, I can't. It's horrible. Really. It's horrible. It's painful for me and you. But you know why that is? Because we put so much focus on what happens up here. Turn your radio on Sunday morning right after church and listen to some wonderful stuff on there, right? Amen? Everybody on there trying to do something God didn't call them to do. So, it's the truth. I'm sorry. I'm just the only one got enough guts to say it. Is that the truth? Right? Sound like it's awful. It's awful. The Bible said make a joyful noise. Well, they use that as an excuse to be horrible. There's nothing joyful. I'm not getting any joy out of that. God's not getting any joy out of that. So let's stop. Let me move on. I'm meddling again, ain't I? All right, 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm almost done, and I know everybody is so glad. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't abort a vision because you dread the labor. It'll be worth it after a while. Somebody should write a song about that. Once you hold that baby, once you see that vision come to pass, you forget about the pain you had to go through to get there. Once your family gets saved, you forget about all the trouble they cost you. The joy overshadows the grief, don't it? You forget about all of that. Guys, I'm telling you, it's worth it. I just want to encourage you, get out of your comfort zone. Don't stay in a status quo where you've been for so long. Take a risk. Step out on faith. Fall flat on your face a few times. Amen? God, have you read the Bible? It will make you feel better about yourself. Read the Old Testament. You're talking about some messed up people. Messed up. You think your family's bad? Mm-mm. I mean, they'd shame my family, and that's saying a lot. I'm serious. Listen, the duties are as results as God. You just do what He's put in your heart. He'll take care of the results. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. I love you guys. I really appreciate you. I love coming here. I always get more out of it than I get, which maybe ain't saying a whole lot. I give my best. I really do. I hope this has blessed somebody tonight. It's time that we nest build a place in our hearts and our lives that God can dwell, where people can come. You know, it's in the scripture that they read earlier about God asked the children of Israel to come closer to the mountain. They told Moses, no, you just go for us. You just go for us. We're not going to go. You know, I'm so glad that God gave us another opportunity to approach Him and to come to Him where He's at. Amen. As we dismiss, let's pray for our sister. They want to come to music. That our sister that was having the problems there. You know, listen, you guys encourage her, love on. You know what the devil's doing to her right now. You know how that goes, don't you? Amen. He's telling her all this, that, and the other, and you ain't this. Let me tell you something, that girl sung her annoying tonight. She sure did. She blessed me. If she didn't know nobody else, she blessed me. God touched me tonight with that girl sang. Amen. Let me tell you something too. These girls up here tonight, everybody, all these young people, give them a big hand. They done absolutely awesome. I'll take every one you don't want. Every one of them. Amen. If you got some you don't want, got some colds, maybe somebody you give up on, send them my way. I love a project anyway. I'm a project. Amen. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for what you're doing in this place and what you're going to do. God, I've seen it. You took me there. You let me see it. Father, I'm thankful. I pray that you let them see it in their spirits. Show us your glory, Father. Your goodness. And Father, we pray right now over our sister, Lord. You said be anxious for nothing. With prayer and supplication, while giving thanks, let your requests be made known unto God. And God's peace, which passes all our understanding, would guard our minds and our emotions. Guard her mind and her emotions tonight. Give her victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We glorify you. God, we just pray tonight that you would just continue and finish what you started. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you feel like praying, you need prayer, this altar's open. This altar's open. If you're ready to go into labor, if you've been feeling the contractions, if you've been feeling like God's beginning to birth what He's put in your heart, get a hold of the horns of the altar. Just keep worshiping and praying and seeking.